The Veterans Affairs Department Inspector General says it will take until August before it finishes investigating allegations of manipulated waiting lists in the Phoenix VA medical system and elsewhere around the country. But even if the investigation doesn't uncover intentional falsification, there is one thing we do know based on the work of the Government Accountability Office. VA's data on medical appointment wait times is at the very least unreliable and has been for years. Deborah Draper is Director of Healthcare Issues at the GAO. She testified before the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs last week about VA's issues with appointment scheduling, and she joins us now. Deborah, thanks very much for coming on with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as I understand it, you've done a significant amount of work in two areas kind of around this topic, one on the issue of appointment scheduling generally and another on the specific issue of specialty care consults. Let's start with the first one. Again, you found VA's appointment wait times were unreliable long before the current batch of news broke. What were some of the observations that led you to that conclusion?
Right, and this is work that GAO has been conducting for more than a decade. So in 2012, we reported that VA's wait times were unreliable. And a couple of things related to that is that we found that schedulers were not always correctly recording the dates that are used to calculate the wait time. So it may have resulted in reported wait times shorter than what veterans actually experienced. We also found, and part of that was due to ambiguous policy around scheduling, and we also found other problems with how the scheduling policy was implemented. For example, follow-up appointments were being scheduled with veterans without ever talking to them, so they would receive notification of their appointment through the mail. And oftentimes they would receive that notification after the appointment was already scheduled. We also found that the scheduling system's electronic wait list was not always used to track new patients, and these patients were put at risk for delayed care or not receiving care at all. And then the other thing that we found was that completion of required training was not always done, even though officials stressed its importance.
During your 10 years of work on this topic, did you ever come to the conclusion that these problems that you identified led directly or were a proximate cause to, you know, patient injury or patient deaths?
Well, anytime there's delayed care, there's always the risk of harm to veterans, and that can be worsening conditions or, in worst case, death. And our more recent work, looking at the specialty care consults, we have found delays in care or care not being provided at all in some of the medical centers that we've included in our review.
As you've examined this issue, did you come to any, you know, sort of unifying conclusions about why VA's policies for scheduling appointments were not being followed at all these various healthcare systems that you visited?
Well, I think we have a couple of common themes that have emerged across all of our work on access to VA healthcare. And, you know, one is that weak and ambiguous policies and processes are often subject to interpretation, and that can lead to significant variation and confusion at the local level. We also see antiquated software systems being used that don't facilitate good practices, inadequate training, unclear staffing needs and staffing allocation priorities, and inadequate oversight that really relies largely on facility self-certification and the use of unreliable data for monitoring.
Some of the things you pointed out in your written testimony last week were that VA's target of getting these appointments scheduled within 14 days is based on historical data, which, as we've been saying, is unreliable.
Right.
But also that, you know, senior VA managers' performance awards are basically tied to meeting that goal. Others have kind of come to the conclusion, well, that creates a perverse incentive to do these sort of off-the-books procedures and not follow policy. Has GAO come to a similar conclusion?
Well, we have not come to that conclusion, but we do know that in the network and the medical center contracts for their executives, that there's a multitude of metrics that they're measured on, and one is wait time. So there is a metric in there for them to that they're measured against that 14-day guideline.
Since the 2012 report, I know you recommended several corrective actions and VA put a plan in place. How much do we know about how much or whether they've improved on these issues since then?
Well, we know that they've told us that they have made some progress on our recommendations. We believe that more should be done. It's been a year and a half, and you know, we think that more should be done, and certainly there's a lot more progress to be made.
And clearly there's an IG investigation into the specific issues in Phoenix. Now that media reports have started to emerge around this more broadly around the country, is GAO planning any follow-up work?
Well, we have current work ongoing related to the specialty care consults, as I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And that is work. That is a type of outpatient medical appointment, and we will be issuing a report later this summer related to that. So it is tied. There's some interrelationship with that and wait times and scheduling. So it's really a follow-on to work that we did, that we issued in January of 2013.
And you already mentioned on the specialty care that you did find cases of delayed treatment. Is there anything else significant from your preliminary work that you can share with us?
Yeah, and we've testified before this. So we did find delays in care not being provided at all. We found that the data were unreliable, and we also found that 1.5 million consults have been closed without documentation as to why they were closed. And these were consults that were older than 90 days.